Cigars lit, 360 degrees in rotation.
This is the Society X Podcast. I'm your host, Shad Harris. Today we have a guy that I've been knowing for at least about 5 years.
Yes, all right.
Been doing a lot of work together. Started out doing his video for Hot 91.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been a while.
Wow.
What's that, Model Fridays?
Model Fridays, man.
It was great, yeah.
Whew. Man, Model Fridays.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Let me introduce you.
Continue the intro. My bad. I just thought about some stuff.
Overzealous ass. Yeah, I got my boy. Say yourself as a comedian. Comedian, host, content creator.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go. Mr. J Rod.
We've got author, man.
Author,
that's the big one. We popping that in 2017.
Yeah, you up here writing books, novels, and whatnot.
Relationship realist, I am.
Well, we got my boy J Rod. How you doing, man?
What up, Shy?
Doing good, man.
First of all, you know, you asked me to come here, and I didn't even know what the name of the podcast was. So to hear it, I'm like, yo, that's pretty diet. Like, I like that right there.
Yeah. You know, you got the Rebel Society, Society X. I thought about Malcolm X for quite a second.
Uh-huh.
So we just out here having conversations with folks that, you know, talk about some real stuff.
I ain't going front. I'm selling my Malcolm Little right now. So
Malcolm Little.
Yeah. I ain't elevated yet. You know, I'm still out on that real quick. You know, but thank you for having me.
No problem. I like to just talk about like how we first met, which I really don't even know. I feel like we met.
I know when you said the Model Friday, it rang to me. So, Batman, VA uh-huh. promoter, he was like, yo, I got this dude who just shot this interview on me, and I think you would love him to get some content for the show. Right. I'm like, I bet. So, you know, you had came in, you and I guess it was your partner at the time.
KG.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who they were. There was some regular dudes, you know, just hanging around the station because it's Model Friday. And Model Fridays,
I thought we were groupies.
Not even groupies, not of me, but, you know, of the ladies that was in there, you know. Speaking of the devil.
Yeah, you go. Shout out to Batman that just walked in.
But yeah, so, you know, Batman told me about you guys. You came through. And yeah, Model Fridays was amazing, bruh. Like,
it was a pretty dope time.
That I was just telling somebody a couple of days ago. I feel like in this area, that was the closest to Howard Stern that you could get. You know what I mean? Like, I ruined my relationship those things.
What about the porno chick that came in there?
Which one?
I remember it was a joint with red hair who had her titties out.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it was Howard Stern.
It
was great, you know, but I will say Model Fridays taught me one thing that I'll always keep with me. Anybody can be entertaining. You can make anybody entertaining because most of them models, and I'm going to put the finger quotes on there, most of those models were... First of all, not real models.
Not at all.
They were some Instagram chicks before Instagram chicks really started taking off. They were brain dead and had no personality. And it seemed like the baddest ones had no personality at all. So,
who were like your favorite guests on Model Fridays? For some reason, I always remember the chick... Aniqua.
Aniqua.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Aniqua. What up, Miss Williams?
Yeah. And I remember the chick, Ashley-Marie.
I mean, there was a couple of them. The first one I will always
maybe
say.
Maybe because I'm still Facebook friends with all of them.
I mean, well, you know, that happens. Because a couple of them went on to some things. Bethany Barber, hands down, is my favorite because I remember her coming in and she was so timid. And I look at every single person that came on Model Fridays, and I think right now she's on the path to the most success in the modeling industry. And, you know, we had other people, but I think Bethany was probably that one that really was going there. Shallon Hall, I used to love her. I had the biggest crush on her, so every time she came around, I was just cheesing.
I think the ones that didn't have no ass, I really don't
remember. Yeah, she didn't have one. Well, she had a little something.
It was a one white chick that was in there that had, like, no back muscles. She had just nothing but bone, yeah. And I like, yo, why she here?
Now there was a couple of the white girls. That
I think
came
they were doing
through,
the Tracy Stern era.
Oh yeah. Shout out to Tracy Stern. Yeah, Tracy wanted me to. And the funny thing, it was after Ashley Dash, she was like, "Nah, I think you need to have more models." And I did this and I did that, whatever. So, you know, I let her come through and. It became terrible, man. It became terrible. I'm not even going to lie.
I feel like I wasted my time on a lot of
shit. But nonetheless, man, you know, like with everything I did with Hot 91, it was amazing.
Cool.
It was amazing.
Cool. All right. So for, you know, since we just started this podcast, you know, I like to ask everybody the same first question.
Okay.
Somewhat as an icebreaker. How did you lose your virginity?
Oh, man. Man, like this is what we're gonna do right now. I don't even get a drink. You over here drinking, it's all good. I don't get no drink though. I lost my virginity twice. Okay. I have two firsts.
Yeah, that's kinda impossible.
It is though. Like, okay, so first time
break your chair?
Nah, I didn't even get to break hers. That was the issue. Like, so it was my girlfriend in high school and we was mad cool. And she, you know, she was giving me, you know, the little
fire fellatio.
The fire fellatio. Mm-hmm. And one day she was like, you know, I kept warning it. I'm like, yo, we gotta do this. Like, you doing that, let's do this.
So she was giving me fellatio, but she wasn't.
Right. That's, so I never forget it. She was like,
which ladies,
like,
is the most stupidest thing
ever. Really, especially when you keeping kids hostage for life. I never forget it. She called me. She's like, hey, my daddy going to Norfolk State football game. Come through while he gone. And I'm like, I bet. So I ride my bike over to her crib and everything.
Hold on. How old was you?
I was like 16, man. Okay. I ain't start driving to college. I'm going to keep it real. I couldn't pass the driving test for nothing.
I'm going to play you for a second, but yeah.
Nah. So, but anyway, I ride my bike over there, and I get in there, and I'm ready. And she's like, okay, let's do it, you know. And she like, you know, unrobed herself.
She had a full robe on?
Yo, it was real. Like, she act like this was some old 16 candles. You know what I mean? And, like, and she had that old Brian McKnight on, man. And
hold on, what year was this?
This was 1999, 2000, somewhere around there, 1999, 2000. And I slid in. And it's
literally,
it wasn't even literal. Mm-mm. It was a struggle. And this is why, when I looked down at her face, she looked like I was raping her. And I don't know if you guys have ever looked at a woman looking at you like you're raping them, but if you are a guy of substance and you're not a dog, then you're going to be like, yo, I can't do this. And that's literally what I said. I said, man, just go get dressed. So I don't really count that as my first because, you know, like, she
gave you the...
She gave me the... Come on, man. Like, I can only imagine that's how Nicole felt anytime OJ came over. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he's here. You know what I mean? Like, he got the money, so I got to let him. You know, he the boyfriend, so I got to let him, but damn.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't really count that as my first. My first I count is... a young lady that y'all all probably know. I'll never tell, but you probably all know her. And she was amazing. And I went to college.
You ain't gonna say
her.
No names?
I ain't gonna say no names, man. I went to college with her though, because I'm a gentleman.
That's debatable.
And it really is. And at the end of my first year of my first semester of college, she let me in those walls, man. Like the last day. The first, yeah, man, boy, when I tell you that jank was amazing. Like, I don't even know if I lasted 3 minutes. maybe three. And that's giving me props. That's like, yo, Jay, you did that. Mm-mm. And she, you guys know, me and her had sex for the next year and a half. And this woman told me that I was good. And I talk about this in a book as well. You know how she
friend
would
zone playbook.
Yeah, the friend zone playbook. She would tell me, yo, you're good. I'm like, no, but I'm coming fast. This is right after Missy done threw out a Woman and Man and everything. And I'm like, yo, maybe I'm
in my your feelings a little bit.
Right, exactly. And she's like, no, girls like it when you come fast. And I'm like, for real? So you know, that was my license, B.
She set you up for the okie doke.
Right. Yeah. Now, remind you, this is technically my first. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when I got to my second and I did it, and she looked at me like I was bugging, I'm like, oh, well, maybe this is not what women like. And it, You got to read the book to find out how I got through my Minuteman stage. But yeah. I'll be too open sometimes, man.
Nah, that's cool. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's why I'm the relationship realist. I keep it as real with you as I keep it with myself. So
okay, yeah, cool. Just to take it back a little bit, like, how did J-Rod grow up? Like, did you have, you know, parents in the house? Like,
yeah. I had a really great upbringing in the hood.
In the hood,
I'm from the Bronx. Born and raised. You know, gunshots put us to sleep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We playing outside, you know, after dark, and parents in one building looking out one window. Like, they had this, the way my projects were set up was that you had one building where my godmother lived in, and you could see, it was like the back of her building, so you could see everything from the back, right? Mm. But then my building was situated to where you could see the front almost. So there was always eyes on us throughout my entire block. So me and my friends, you know, we can literally be outside all day, you know, because somebody was always watching us. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was, I didn't know I was from the hood until I got old and was like, oh, I guess that was hood, you know. I knew there were places that I couldn't go because niggas was crazy. But, you know, other than that, yeah, I loved my childhood. I loved being in the Bronx.
So, like, when did you come to Virginia?
Came to Virginia High School. I had just got accepted to LaGuardia School for the Arts for singing. And my mom's came out and she was like, hey, my mom's had already been in Virginia, I think, for like a year or so. Mm-hmm. I stayed with my pops while she was down here. And me and my pops got into this argument. about this girl, right? I was in love with this little Spanish joint. I don't remember her name. And my pops was like, nah, you got to come in the house.
Dominican chicks will ruin your life.
Oh, my gosh, man. She was amazing. Like, she was fully grown at, like, 15. It was amazing. And I was like, Dad, I can't go inside, man. Like, she out here, and she's finally giving me some play. He was like, I don't care. I got to go to work. You got to go to your grandmother's house. I'm like, nah, man. Me and him got it, like, in such the big argument. I remember calling my mother, I'm coming down. I got to leave here this week. I was so mad. The next week I was in Virginia. A week later, I was like, "What the fuck have I just done to myself?"
Yeah, I don't know why you did that, man.
You know what I mean? But, you know, needless to say, my life would be completely different if I didn't come here. And because of all the things I was able to do by being here, the people I've been able to meet, and the direction that my life has gone, I can't really say that it was a bad thing. It was just very different.
Gotcha. So when you was a youngin', like, what did you actually want to do with your life? Like, what career path were you on?
Music. I wanted to sing my entire life. Like,
you was in a group for a minute, right?
Yeah, I was in a group, Live 14. We did a couple of things, national recording artists. But, you know, that deal never came through because management was always horrible for the most part. We had deals on the table and we'd just get screwed up.
Who was your management? Shout him out.
I ain't going to do that either. You know, my pops was our manager for a little bit. You know what I mean? And he was just caught in a situation.
Shout out to pops.
Yeah, I was reading this book, The Outliers? I think it is. Yeah. And in the book, you know, they just really, you know, they start describing how, depending on when you were born, you can really see people that are successful, not successful. And the time that we came out of R&B was a really funny, it was a really funny place because it wasn't any longer you can just get signed off of pure talent.
What year was that?
We started in 2003.
So you had, like, Pretty Ricky coming up,
yeah? Yeah, we was a little bit before Pretty Ricky, but Pretty Ricky was towards,
like, 112.
Well, 112 was already in the game. So, like, the 112 era was where we were from.
Yeah.
So we were like those kind of guys. But Pretty Ricky and them guys are the ones that were being picked up.
Shout out to Slick'em.
That's such a random shout out.
It is.
You know what I mean? So what our issue was, we had the talent and all the labels saw that, but this is when MySpace is popping, people are getting signed up for MySpace. So it was like, but you guys have no presence, you know, da 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 da. So
did people have social media presence?
Oh yeah, that's how people was getting signed around that time. Like when we finally got everything together.
Are you sure about that? Because I feel like people aren't really getting signed off like online until like 2008, 2010.
Well, here was the thing. You would get one or two types of deals. You would either get the social media deal where you can have room to really get bread, mm-hmm. or you can have one of those deals where we control everything and you're pretty much just a mouthpiece. You know what I mean? And that was the situation that we had at hand. so while once we finally did figure everything out and we had some deals that were could be put together, by that time, you know, a lot of situations just changed in the group. Real life happened. When you got four, you know, handsome black men singing to women, somebody gonna get somebody pregnant.
So, pretty much, yeah.
You know, that was the beginning. And yeah, man. Yeah,
but it's beginning of the end.
Yeah, really. But that's, you know, doing the group is actually what put me into radio. You know, it seemed like everything I've done has always led me to something else.
Gotcha, Speaking of radio, I know you worked at Hot 91 for a while at Norfolk State, like how did you get involved with that?
I was trying to get my group on there. I was trying to get my group. We had just started recording, and I was like, yo, we got to get our song on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was walking past, and they was having an audition. So I was like, well, let me just go audition, because if I get it, then I can get all of our music on the radio.
Right.
I auditioned. I don't know if this record still stands, but I like flawlessly auditioned. It was like the best audition they ever had. Uh-huh. Like, and I was like, oh, whatever. So then when I get on the radio, and it was like, we got to take this training class. So I took the training class, and maybe about 3-4 weeks into the training class, I was like, this radio thing is pretty cool. And then I started remembering all the times when I was younger, you know, I would put the radio up in the window. Mm-hmm. And for my block, you know what I mean, I would be talking out of the radio like after each break, and I was just doing radio and stuff, really. It was really weird. So, people were like, trained. Shut up, Gerard, da 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 da. You know,
you're pretty much trained to do this from
yeah. It was, I've always like entertaining people,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, so I did that, and at first I was horrible. Like, I was probably the worst radio person that I ever heard in my life.
Really?
I was horrible. I was, because I didn't know who I was. You got to understand.
Who else was on Hot 91 at the time?
DJ INC. I think Custom might have still been up there.
Is that around time DJ Green and Showtime?
Well, Showtime had just left. Showtime had went to Hot 102, I think it was at the time. Mm-hmm. Or maybe he was there for like a year or something like that. So I didn't, and Green didn't come in until Showtime came back to 91.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was in there, but I was horrible. Like, I was just really bad because I didn't know who I was. And I always tell people, radio helped me figure out who I was as a person. You know, when you're an introvert, for the most part, when you're out in school, then you come around.
You classify yourself as an introvert?
I was a big introvert. I'm so serious. I was an introvert. I didn't really go out to any parties and stuff, which I still don't really do unless, you know, it's a reason. But yeah, I was just really to myself in that sense. I had my group of friends, but that was it. And radio just kind of showed me who I was, what I like, you know, what personality I wanted to take on, because in radio, you got to bring on some type of persona. but in doing that, you know, it was just a real big life lesson. And once I started learning who I was, the J-Rod moniker really started having something towards it. And a couple of minutes later, or a couple of months later, I was like, okay, I can do this. And then I learned how to study radio. Started studying radio, and
it took off from there?
Yeah, pretty much.
What was like one of your best memories from Hot 91?
My Rick Ross interview. I interviewed Rick Ross right before he started MMG. I wasn't a huge Rick Ross fan at all, but I knew he was, you know, I knew it was a big deal. And we got a chance. He came up to the station? Yeah, he came up to the station. Yeah, this was...
That's probably around that same time frame I was up there.
Probably around then. You might have actually been in the interview, you know what I mean?
I wasn't there. I remember that.
But I remember he came in, you know, and he reeked of marijuana. And I was like, damn, I wish he would have brought some, you know what I mean? But this is back when I was smoking still. And, you know, we were sitting down, we were talking. And in the interview, I remember him saying, yeah, man, you know, all I do is I go to the studio, I work. I come home, you know, I come home and I write. And that's all I do. I write, you know, because I just got this idea. Like, I want to be like the next Diddy. You know, I want to have my own label. I'm going to be putting people on. Like, I got a couple of people that I'm about to put on, you know, and I'm really making it about them. You know, I'm still going to do me, but I'm really making it about them. And then like a year later, we had MMG. And I just like, wow. Like, he talked about his work ethic. And I was able to touch it. You know, I was able to shake his hand. I was able to actually talk to him. And I'm like, it's possible. You know, like, it's really possible to really have anything that you want in this life. You just really have to go for it. You know, so it's to my favorite time on radio.
I think out of all the interviews I shot for you, the one that stands out to me is Melanie Fiona.
Oh man, I had just finished being sick. I had the flu.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
she smelled awesome.
Oh my God, she smelled Melanie awesome. Fiona. I'm gonna tell you why I hate this. Right, one of my boys is married to a young lady that looks just like Melanie Fiona and ruined it for me.
But she's not her though.
She ain't Melanie. Oh my God, I just want to touch Melanie. Melanie, if you're listening, this is J. Rod. Remember me? I was wearing a purple shirt, but we're gonna call it lavender because I know you ladies like when we pick out names that ain't really names of a real color.
It ain't in the crayon book. Crayon box.
But nah, that was it was a dope interview. I mean, all of my interviews were really dope. My first interview with the Aunt Rachel from Family Matters. That was my first interview, and I was nervous as shit. And my girlfriend at the time
was Aunt Rachel still popping?
Nah, she was doing a stage play out here. You know how black people go to stage plays. Once, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Stage play with Gerald LaVert.
Gerald LaVert.
Tommy from Martin.
And you can't forget Christopher Washington. You know what I mean? That nigga Christopher Washington has been in about 75 different black stage plays that start with Mama or end with God.
Miguel Nunez.
Mama, I love this man, but God loves me too. Coming to Chrysler Hall. Yeah. But yeah, I was interviewing her and I called my girlfriend a mad scared, like, yo, I don't know what to do. How do I do this interview? I've never interviewed anybody. And she's like, just talk to them. Just have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And I did that. And they was like, yo, that's an amazing interview. Wow, you've been interviewing a long time. This is my first interview. But I realized, you know, the humanity of it all. I don't know if that's a word. You might have to check that out.
I don't think so.
Word. All right. The humanity of it all. How about that?
That's a real
word. I like humanity better. But I realized how, you know, and this is what I took along with me when I continued radio. People want to connect. People want to feel like you're talking to them. People want to be involved in stuff. So, you know, with everything I do, I try to make people as involved as possible, you know, and sometimes I fail at that, but that's always my goal, involving people. And now that I've gotten older, helping people as well. I want it to be a help in some kind of way, whether it's helping you laugh, helping you think, helping you get something together. That's my goal. but yeah, when it came to radio, I was content king, man. Like, I had something for every hour, every minute. You know, I was telling one of my boys the other day, I was like, I would start a year off with 50 different segments, and I would break them down, you know, and I would try certain things out, see if it worked, see if it didn't work. And
is really that where you feel like you became, like, a content creator? Like,
Yeah, because it what I knew was that I didn't want people to listen to me and get bored. I also didn't want people to listen to me for just the music.
Right.
You know, I wanted them to attach to me the way that...
You want to be like a name out here.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it wasn't even out here. You know, I didn't do it for the fame because I didn't know that people were listening until I was getting the numbers back. I literally did it because I was like, this is fun. You know, and I want people to have fun. I wanted to do a morning show at night, you know, because I couldn't wake up in the morning. Like, literally. And I was like, I just want people to listen and have fun. I want this to be the best part of their day in some kind of way. And I was able to achieve that. And, you know, it just so happens because I was so steadfast on that goal that it gave me the other things that it comes with that, you know.
Okay.
And I became a whore. And
I mean, it happens.
Yeah,
that
you know, happens. Because I was steadfast to the goal. You know? But yeah, it was great, man. It was great, and it taught me a lot.
There's one thing I want to mention very briefly.
Okay.
I feel like was a dud for you.
Okay.
Your TV show.
Yes. Let's talk about that
for a quick second.
Let's talk about that.
Because I remember going to the release party at the lounge, and I was thinking, I was watching
That TV. Yeah, yeah, okay.
That TV show. And I realized, like, whoever, like, produced this wasn't that good. It seemed like it had the possibility of being okay. But it wasn't, though.
All right. So, first and foremost, I want to, you know, thank everyone over at Fox 43, you know, Stephanie, and the rest of the gang over there that really gave us that opportunity. It didn't come out as far as what I thought I would get off of it. And to keep it so 100, I thought it was going to be my crossover thing. I was like, black people know me out here. White people going to know me out here. But I think where the show didn't get a chance to be something because of you have six people as cast members and you only have 30 minutes to get that out.
Right.
And you have commercials in between that. So we're literally looking at about 3 minutes per person mm-hmm. to develop an entire story over 8 episodes.
Right.
So that's 24 minutes to develop a story that's supposed to be about growth in 8 episodes. It's the impossible. You know, and then when you add on to the fact that I think they went into it very advantageous of their thought that it was going to help everybody out the way they really needed them to be helped. And it really didn't. But I'm a firm believer in finding the positive in everything. And I will say without a shadow of a doubt, if that show didn't come about, I wouldn't have been able to go further when it came to producing and directing and all of that stuff and learning, because they asked me questions that I didn't even think about. You know, I tell people, always tell you, hey, you can go on Google and find anything, but you can't. There's nothing to substitute.
You can't go to YouTube and find everything you want.
You can find. Here's the thing: you have to know what you're searching
you
for.
You can find how to fix a Geo Metro in like no time.
But you have to know what you're looking for. Like you can say, "Hey, I could be a mechanic because every single thing on YouTube is up there." But if I don't know, I need to know how to change a carburetor. If I don't even know what a carburetor is, then when it comes time for me to go out there and say, "Hey, I'm a mechanic. Well, can you fix this carburetor? What the hell is a carburetor?" You know what I mean?
True.
The information is out there, but you got to know what you're searching for. And, you know, when I did that show, I literally didn't know what I was searching for. I knew that, hey, I want to do video because I've been shooting these sketches and it's all good. It sounds like video producer. You know, I want to be a TV producer. Why did I say that? Because it's the only thing that kind of sounded like it,
right,
you know.
Right.
But once I got into it and they started asking me questions, it really gave me a chance to know what I was searching for, know what I was researching.
Gotcha.
And that show put me on a path of saying, this is what I need. This is what I need to stay relevant. This is what I need to know. So while I didn't get anything from them per se on the way I thought I would, I got more than enough of them of knowing what I needed to know about the path, my next step. You know, when I stopped radio and I stopped music, I was taking a big risk because I bullshitted in college.
You got a degree though, right?
Yeah, I got that, but that ain't shit. It's paper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I bullshitted in college. I didn't even do internships for real. My internship was being on the radio. I was like, fuck it. I'm a radio star. I don't need to do no internship. And that was a lie. you know, I didn't have any practical knowledge beyond radio. I didn't have any plan beyond radio, and I had a child, you know, and I was like, well, I got to figure out something. You know, it would be people would say, well, you can just go into marketing. I hate marketing. I hate marketing. Marketing is the fucking worst to me. You know what I mean? I know it's necessary, but it's not what I do, you know. So I was very confused. What? I'm sorry. Some people are good at marketing. Some people aren't. I'm one of those people that aren't good at marketing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Batman for being
Shout out to Batman.
The other side of that. Looking like a chemo patient. What kind of hair? Hey, came in here with a... But anyway, no, he got the powder. He got the black powder look right now.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's a struggle cut. You ever had a struggle cut and mama know it's picture day and she knows she can't afford a haircut? Come here, boy. We're going to get this right tonight.
They give you that little cone. You know you got a fever. Yeah. I remember that day.
Yeah, but nah, so... Yeah, so I didn't know what I was going to do, but I took a chance. You know, I stopped working as much so I can learn a craft. You know, I took all the money that I had saved up and bought equipment. You know, I put my faith in people that I really shouldn't have, but that's a completely different story. Right. You know, I really started from the bottom with a lot of that stuff, you know, and the show really helped me to kind of guide me.
To where you want to go at.
Exactly. Gotcha. You know, so I it was a dud. From a visual standpoint, but from knowing what it did for me, it was gold, man.
Cool.
It was gold.
Cool. During that time, same time frame, I know you were doing a lot of work with Jay Farrell, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
Well, me and Jay did radio together. I heard him on the radio because he was on with Showtime and DJ Green. And I was like, yo, this dude is funny as shit. He was doing like a prank call or whatever. And I remember going to a staff meeting about 2-3 weeks later. And it was my first staff meeting after being back from the States, because I took like a year off to do just straight music. Came back, and this dude comes in, and he is making the program director laugh his ass off, which made the meeting that much better, because usually they were the worst meetings in the world. So afterwards,
shout out to Doug.
Right. So afterward, I'm like, yo, dude, like, so you and Showtime, y'all just, damn, I wish you, I had you on my show. He was like, well, I don't do Showtime. I don't do the show with Showtime anymore. I said, oh, word? You trying to do the show with me? He was like, well, you know, I'm traveling. You know, I'm trying to do shows and everything. I'm just trying to get on. I was like, well, can I get one of your days? What day are you here? He was like, well, I'm always here on Wednesdays. I was like, all right, well, every Wednesday, bruh, I'm going to give you 2 hours, you know, and we're going to put together a whole entire segment. And because, first of all, I even said that to him, you know what I mean? He was grateful. And for me, it was like when he actually got in the building, he wanted to work.
You're right.
Jay, and still to this day, is one of the only people I can say I have to play catch up when it comes to just working. Work ethic. I'm a workhorse. That nigga is on a different level. You know what I mean? Like, of the work and the time and the creativity that he puts into everything. You know, so we really connected on that level. You know, I would say, hey, it'll be dope if we do this. Next thing I know, he's calling me, hey, I did this.
Right.
Worse, right. Let's do this.
Make and, you step know, your game up, man.
Right, exactly. And that's what it did, you know. And while I was asking him to help me with the content, we were coming together and just making crazy stuff.
Right.
So, you know, a year and a half later, when SNL comes about, me and this man have worked, you know, and we, you know, I'm proud of him, because I'm like, yo, I seen the grind.
Right.
I seen you at the bottom, and now I'm seeing you. Yeah, exactly. You know, so, and I've always been that person to him, the same person he was to me. When I asked him to make my show better, he did that. You know what I mean? Put in that work. So when he asked me to come in and help him with anything, it's like, all right, bro, let's get this. You know what I mean? And he taught me. He taught me and fast-tracked me on a completely different career path. You know, he taught me how to write stuff when most people take years because they don't have anybody. You
true,
know?
True.
And not only did I get, you know, and this is going back to like the whole YouTube situation. Mm-hmm. You can go on Google and stuff and ask, you know, how do I write this? How do I do this? But then you look at actual TV execs, actual movie execs, and what they're really accepting, what they're really looking for. So it fast tracks your knowledge, and it puts out all of the extra bullshit. And it's like, this is how you get to where you're trying to go.
Correct.
You know, so that's the homie. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I used to see a lot of stuff that y'all do, and I was like, oh, this joint is dope. Or I just see, you know, the way that you was interacting in his career, and, you know, just want to know how that all came about. Mm-hmm. Let's fast forward it to present day.
Present day.
You just released a book called The Friend Zone Playbook.
The Friend Zone Playbook, yes.
How did that come about? Like, what was the thought process behind putting that together?
Back in February, I had a friend of mine come over to the crib, and she was she was feeling a little hurt. Because of this dude she was trying to get with. She knew that the guy was feeling her, but he wasn't acting in that nature. So I simply told her to put the nigga in the friend zone. And she was like, what do you mean, put him in the friend zone? She was so confused. I'm like, just put him in the friend zone. I guarantee if you are going to do anything with this guy, it's going to work.
Hold on. That's... So you'll tell a chick to put a man in a friend zone?
Hell yeah. If she wants it. She was my friend. He wasn't my friend. I have no loyalty to that nigga. My loyalty
was to
her.
But as a man, shouldn't you have a loyalty just as a... the male gender.
No. For what? I have loyalty to people.
Continue on.
I'm just saying.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but, you know, I feel like you should always have loyalty to the male gender.
So here's the thing about that. Like I said, I'm a real. Because
I've had situations, not to cut you off. I've had situations where a chick when I was single,
right?
The chick that I was smashing, she'll tell me about her dude, and I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'll still be on his side, even though I could have been smashing.
Right. Here's my thing, and this is why I say I'm not on anyone's side. I'm a relationship realist. I keep it real with women as much as I keep it real with men. Mm-hmm. So if a woman comes to me talking about a dude, I'm going to look at it as real as possible from that man's point of view. This is why he's doing this. This is why he's doing this. This is why he's doing this. This is what he means. You know, so in turn, I'm being very loyal to us, because instead of her thinking that we just crazy, we all dogs, whatever the case may be.
So you made sense out of the
right,
actions.
Exactly. I make everything that we do make sense, because we speak two different languages, men and women.
True.
So, you know, my thing with her was put him in the friend zone, because the language we're going to see from being in the friend zone is, if you really feeling a chick, oh no, fuck this. Especially when I was getting love before. Mm-hmm. You used to let me kiss on you, now you not? Now what's that about? I need to know what's good.
Yeah,
if I'm
yeah,
really
yeah.
feeling you. And right. if I'm not feeling you, then I'm gonna fall all the way back. And that's what she needed. She needed either for him to move on or for him to step up. So she did it, and of course he steps up and she's excited. She's elated. She's like, oh my God. She always came to me for advice, but she wasn't the only one. Like, all of my friends for the most part come to me for advice, or they love hearing my stories, because I am I'm very real in my approach when it comes to everything, you know, including relationships.
Have you ever been put in a friend zone?
Oh, many of times, man. I lived in a friend zone. What? I told you I was an introvert, man. Introverts don't get no ass. I was corny, B.
Like, I consider myself an introvert, but at the same time, I used to always
you didn't have the corny with it. I was corny, B. Like, I couldn't get nothing. What? Yeah. Listen, it gave me a unique point of view, you know, so I understand what it is to be in a friend zone and then getting women that you don't have to do anything but say hi. You understand how to put people in a friend zone and keep them there. You know, I have a unique perspective on a lot of this. So like I said, that was back in February, and I was like, okay, this friend zone thing might be a really cool thing to write on.
Yeah.
When I started doing the comedy stuff, that came as a vision from God. Mm. You know, he told me to do a podcast. He told me to write a book, and he told me to do something when it comes to TV and comedy. And I've worked on all of those since he gave me that vision almost 2 years ago.
Okay. So what would be some tangible advice, some step-by-step advice on how to get out of the friend zone for any guys out there?
Well, the most tangible I can say is go read the book.
I mean, besides that. Besides
that's the most
that.
Tangible. But to here's the thing. You have to make yourself a commodity.
So make yourself popping.
Not in the streets, but to the person that you're trying to get to. It all starts with the thought process. And this is with business, too. Why should I want to attach myself to you?
Uh-huh.
What is it that you're bringing to the table? And the only way you know that is if you know what a person is looking for.
Right.
So that in turn makes it helps you out of the friend zone. Because
so you should do your research on that.
You got to research everything.
But social media, you can know what that person is looking for. Yeah.
That is just a social media profile.
But females every day are saying, yo, I want a guy that does X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Listen, how many of these women out here put up all this bullshit posts? You know, these women are great posts and everything, and then they fucking with the worst nigga in the world.
True.
You know
but
what I mean?
Feel like social media allows you to see a little bit as far as what they are into.
Nah. I'm going to tell you right now, I look at social media only as a reference point to what you feel like is important to other people. If you feel like being cute is important to other people, then you're going to show that you're cute. If you feel like being a businesswoman is important to other people, you're going to be a businesswoman. If you feel like going to the club and making your shmoney is what it is, then that's what you're going to do too. It's only a small piece, but being the person that you think she wants off of the social media is 9 times out of 10 going to get you in the friend zone, because every woman has a deeper part that she's not sharing with besides her friends. And a lot of times she won't even share it with them unless her man is fucking up. Or her woman, for that matter. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's when you actually take those layers away and really get to know a person that you really see what's going on. You know, and I'm not saying that there aren't shallow people that are all about what they're putting on social media, but you won't know that just from their social media. The same way a person that seems shallow up there might be the deepest person ever. You know, so while it may look like she's looking for a baller, she's really just looking for someone to really respect her, because she never received respect from a man. So if I'm that man that's bringing that respect,
no, you're talking deep, man.
No, it's just real. I'm real. So if you show respect from a non corny angle, because that's where a lot of good dudes fuck up.
True.
They show respect very corny. You know, you can pretty much get that woman that's looking for that. You know, if a woman, all women are looking for a man. As a man, you need to be a man.
Right.
Being a man doesn't mean you got to pay all the bills. Being a man doesn't mean you have to fix everything in the house. Being a man simply means show that she has that security to lean on.
Right.
And as long as you can show that security.
All women need is security. Yeah.
Exactly.
Protect and provide.
Protect and provide. And that those provisions come in all different shapes and sizes of that woman.
Right.
That's not saying any man can get any woman, because some women just have standards of what they want. You know, so you might have to be a millionaire to pick up that chick, because she's not dealing with anybody below that. As to make her a gold digger, that means she knows what the fuck she wants.
Right.
I'd rather a chick tell me, hey, your bank account ain't high enough than me to waste my time trying to impress her, go broke, only for it to mean nothing.
Gotcha.
You know, so it's all about knowing that person, you know, whether it's the opposite sex, same sex, it's all about knowing that person. And we really dive deep into that inside of the new book, The Friend Zone Playbook, where you can pick up in any outlet except for Google Play, because they play.
Yeah. All right. I kind of want to get some tangible advice for people that want to slide in the DMs of their favorite chick.
I don't slide in DMs. I've just never been a proponent of sliding in DMs.
But if you know somebody, if my man Batman want to slide in some DMs.
Mm-hmm. Make it personal.
Yeah, make it very personal.
Make it personal.
What advice would you give?
No, that's my advice. Make it personal. If you're going to slide into a DM, if she's a bad joint, understand everybody sliding in her DM.
And she's completely out of your league.
Out of my league. The one thing that's never out of a person's league is being funny. If you can make her laugh, you're good. Don't hit it up, yo ma, you so beautiful. She knows she beautiful.
True.
Yo ma got this and that. Nigga, everybody that come to her got this and that. You know? But if you say something like, you was wearing polka dots? I mean, I guess that's in style if you like it. LOL. She is going to stop her, because it's like,
Nobody ever said that.
Exactly. So it's like,
So many dudes out here like dick riding that, you know.
Right. And that doesn't mean you got to put her down. That doesn't mean you got to put her down. But what it does mean is that you definitely have to be cognizant of what you're saying and make sure that it's something that can be different.
Right.
You know, make sure that it's something that can be like, oh, word.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, if you really want a person, then you got to show her why everyone else is not even acceptable. And that's vice versa, because there's a lot of women out here that are losing with losers.
Are there women that are sliding the DMs?
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, it happens. I can show you mine. It happens. But once again, it's just because they don't know. You know, I think we all think that the man is the desperate one, and a lot of times it's the woman that's desperate.
Women over 30 are super desperate, yeah.
But not even women over 30. Women with the mentality that marriage is the key are usually desperate if they don't have that person that they're going to be married to.
They looking around with the Patrick look like, yo,
exactly.
Something needs to pop off. Like right now, yo.
Right,
my
right.
Clock ticking and everything. Right.
But, you know, a lot of that has to do with people not knowing what's good, not being ready for the moment. You know, if you put a perfect woman in front of a person that isn't ready, or you put a perfect man in front of a woman that isn't ready, then that's just a perfect person that you're going to lose out on.
True.
You have to be ready. So self-discovery and knowing exactly what you need, not what you want, but what you need is key. You know, no one's perfect out in these streets. You know, you're never going to find the perfect person, but you can find the person that's going to keep you satisfied. What I need you to do is feed me. I don't need to be full, but I need to be fed. Mm. I need to be satisfied, you know. And a lot of these people out here are just snacks for people, whether it's snacks with the sex, snacks with the conversation, snacks with the personality, snacks with the looks.
Yeah, them sound bites.
I'm just saying. But, you know, when you start really going for them full meals, yeah, I might not be full after going to Red Lobster because they give you a small portion on everything.
But they got that endless shrimp, though.
Listen, but real. But here's the funny part. You ready? When you get the endless meal.
You only eat two rounds.
I'm telling you. It's like, oh, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, that first one would have sufficed. You know? It's just about knowing what's going to make you, you know, what's going to satisfy you.
True,
man.
True.
You know, not looking for everything. So, but that all starts with you. It all starts with you. You know, I, a lot of my friends look at some of my formers, And he'd be like, yo, they were all wifey, B. Nigga, I don't get nothing but wifey. Like, to be... are we challenging now? We can name names on this. We can name names on this, and I can tell you how each one of them were wifey. Material.
Oh, okay.
Did that help? No, let's name names. Come on. I'm ready.
I only know two.
Give me two. Who? Oh.
I only know two.
But most people.
I only know two.
Most people will look at her like, oh, yo, she's a good girl. She's in the book, too. That was really funny.
Which one are you talking about?
I know it's the first. The one. Yeah.
The other one.
Who's the other one?
Norfolk State, a.k.a.?
She was wifey too, but here's the thing, I didn't say that their looks were amazing. I knew he was good. I'm not saying anything but the fact that these women have certain qualities.
I just feel like every man got like a couple doves on his belt though.
We call them which one a dove?
Not none of them.
Oh
no, that's cool.
Let me break it down. When I say wifey, I mean that a lot of guys look for certain qualities in a woman.
True.
Most of the qualities that men look for, not looks wise, but everything else, are in the women that I'm dealing with. Not saying they looks be off, but you know, like let's take old girl. We'll call one yellow. We'll call one brown.
Shout out to Sierra.
Oh, we can say her name.
We can say her name. I say names.
All right. Well, let's take Sierra then. Who? Hey, Michael. Hold on, Bat. Is this okay? Can I do this? You're on your own, buddy. All right. Well, anyway, let's take Sierra. Sierra's an amazing woman.
Sierra's a man eater. I don't appreciate it. But go ahead, continue your story.
But here's the thing. If you ask a man what he's looking for, 9 times out of 10, at least 7 out of 10 qualities he points out she's gonna have. And that's just real. If you just write down these things, I want her to do this, I want her to do this, I want him to do this, I want her to do this, he's gonna name a lot of the qualities that she wants. Mm-hmm. For instance, see, y'all both married, so I don't count. Bat's not married. Batman, name me 3 qualities you want out of a woman. And you know at least Ciara. Name 3 qualities you want out of a woman. He never met Ciara.
Hustle.
He said hustle.
Honesty.
Loyalty, yeah, okay.
She fits those.
I don't know about hustle. But she's also damaged.
We don't know about hustle, though?
But she's also damaged.
Damaged as fuck. You know what I mean? Yeah. But most of us deal with damaged people. How many people over 25 isn't damaged?
Like 90%.
Aren't damaged?
Yeah. Not that are.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, that's just what happens with relationships. But I don't know what the analogy is, but I definitely do know that you got to go through something to you got to build calluses up. It's like the guitar player. You and to be a great guitar player, you go through the moment when you build up that callus, you go through that pain. But that's so that when you start doing real things, that real beauty of the music, mm-hmm. you're able to take it. You have to go through things so you know that when you get into a real relationship, you can act. I hate women that haven't been through real relationships, because when it comes to that time when the honeymoon part is over and there's real life issues, they get stuck at the first one. It's like you don't know how to work through it because you've never been through it.
Right.
You know, and it could be something small as, oh my God, like he just don't clean out his car. Like I hate it. And they'll stick on one thing about the
and
guy.
Be stuck on that.
Exactly. Angry. And let an entire good guy run away. You know, but it's until you go with this, I'm like, okay, he don't clean out his car. I have to attach sex some way to this so that
it gets better. Or he wants to clean out his car.
Right. You know what I mean? It's a lot. But I'm that's why I started this journey. You know, me putting out a book was more about offering my take for the long haul than just putting out a book. Mm-hmm. You know, I see a lot of people out here that's failing in relationships, and people say, well, you know, you single? Nah, I ain't single. But I don't put my situation out there either.
Right.
You know, because I know a lot of y'all are going to go ahead and try to poke holes in my shit. And next thing I know, you know, even though my girl knows how much of a whore I've been in my life.
Shout your lady out, man.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not playing these games on these streets here. I think I'm a goddamn novice.
Shout out to J-Rod lady.
But I will say this. She is an amazing woman, because not only does she hold me down, but she make sure that when I am down, I'm learning a lesson on my own.
Okay.
And that's real, because as a man, I have to go through things on my own, you know, just so I can have that pride to come out of it. True. But she holds me down. She'll never let me fall to the point where it's like, I can't see you.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's like, I see you, baby. I know you have the strength to get up. You know, it's like when that baby falls down, keeps falling down, you keep picking up that baby and holding it, it'll never learn how to walk. Mm. But if you say, hey, I'm here, it's okay, get up, get up, they'll get that strength to get up. And she does that more. She does that more than any other woman I've ever been with. So,
cool,
you know, great woman, great woman.
That's good. That's good.
How would we not married? So, if you think you can steal me now, playing sort of.
All right, cool. So, what's next for you, man?
Right now I'm writing a script. Writing a couple of scripts. But the, like I said, the book has taken a lot of my time doing, you know, just the little things. It only took me three weeks to write the book. Mm. But everything that goes with the book,
all the content is
right order. Exactly. When I wrote the book, I wanted to make sure that it was very content heavy. I took a step back from producing my comedy show in order to do the book. So when I was finished with that part, I said I gotta involve what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. So I did comedy sketches, I interview people, you know, and try to incorporate everything that I've done this far. So now that the book is out, now that, you know, even though we're still pushing the book, it's more about making sure that everything has branches and that everything I'm doing connects. So, excuse me, with me writing a lot of my scripts, I'm making sure that I'm throwing in a lot of my thought processes and everything, keeping it very personal to who I am. you know, I deal with a whole bunch of comedians all the time. So any way I can to help them, whether it's jumping on camera, behind the camera, on paper, whatever the case may be, I'm doing that as well. As a matter of fact, Celis, the comedian, man, we just did a this is probably coming out after Christmas.
True.
But go check out some of the content on the Repost show. I do a lot of work with him and some of the other comedians around here. Just making sure that they have an outlet, you know. Same way Viz Inc. does, you know. I just
shout out to Viz Inc. once again.
All day. But yeah, just trying to be out there and just serve something that you can look forward to. I'm still doing a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Last year I hit up a lot of countries. Hopefully this year it's even more. Mm-hmm. You know, spreading the gospel of the of the Friend Zone playbook and just being real at the same time. And you know, it's all about helping. You know, mm-hmm. we 2017 in my eyes is being, it's so funny. I seen a lot of those 2016 posts and everybody was talking about how horrible it was. 2016 was the best year of my life.
My 2016 was pretty dope.
Yeah, like it went to the end that shit got fucked up. And even through that, it taught me lessons.
Right.
You know, so 2017, I'm trying to triple that. You know, I'm trying to do things. And what I've learned in this whole process is all about self. You know, it's as much as you can do. You know, a lot of us get caught up out here trying to have other people help us get to where we know we're supposed to be instead of doing it ourselves.
True.
So it's just making sure that for 12 months out of that year, I stay with that common focus. Do this myself, you know, and not saying you don't get help, but, you know, not looking for that person to pull you up, but more so doing things to the quality and the level that it should be done in order for people to really take a look at whatever you're doing.
Gotcha.
Just doing more of that this year, man.
All right, sounds good. Where can people find you at, man?
Everywhere, because I'm everywhere, man.
I see that, yeah.
JTalk 100 is is everything. I'm on everything. Hit up JTalk 100, the letter J, the word talk, the number 100, and that's how you hit me up. And if you put an email at the end of it, you got my email.
Cool.
Yeah, JTalk 100, we're doing it. The relationship realist, J-Rod.
All right, cool. Once again, this is Shaw Harris of the Society X podcast. Thank you for...
You're too cool right now, man.
I'm kind of smacked a little bit.
Is that what it is, man?
I'm kind of smacked.
I'm kind of smacked. Harris, yeah. You know, doing this.
And I got to pee, so... Yeah.
So you should be like, hey, man, we finished. We out.
Yeah. So we done with this. Look out for some more coming up very soon. So good evening, good night. Society X. Peace out.